Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast series. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. On this episode here, we have a guest. This episode is Saria. And Saria, I met through Clubhouse, and now we follow each other on Instagram. And I wanted to bring her on just to talk a little bit about the Black Wealth series that she has, and just how that is important for our community, and just knowing details about Black wealth and how you can attain wealth and just kind of carry it through your generations to follow. That seems to be what everybody's on these days, being an entrepreneur. So hi, Saria, how are you today?
I'm good, Tamika. How are you? It good. Seems like I have this plane above me, but can you hear me okay?
Yep, it sounds fine. Okay, good. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being on the episode. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No problem. So do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? I gave a little bit of an introduction, but do you want to talk a little bit about yourself and how you got started on your entrepreneur journey and just the Black Wealth series?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving me the space. So I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I'm from a single mom who worked at a factory, and my aunt worked at Dominic's bakery, and my family worked, my uncles, they all worked for Ford auto mechanic shop. So I grew up seeing people work really hard, but they were always broke. And so in my mind, I started equating hard work with broke. The harder you work, the less money you had. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if I was that far off because, you know, remember, slaves worked for free. So,
right.
So when I started like thinking about what I wanted to do, I didn't really know anything because I had nobody around me to show me. Even my teachers, they were teachers, but I knew I didn't want to be a teacher. So I didn't know what else was out there. And I don't know if I even had enough sense to even ask anybody. So right. When I was in high school, I was a good artist. I was a painter and a sculptor. And I used all mediums, everything from acrylic to pencils. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to go to the Art Institute of Chicago because I was always qualifying for these art programs. And I was like, wow, that must be what I should do. I should be an artist. They must make a lot of money and have great longevity and all this stuff. Of course, I didn't know anything about an artist. So, so I graduate high school and I'm in high school and I'm in this art group. And one of the mentors, says to the group, you know, we're all starving artists. And I was like, what? Why would anyone choose to starve? And so thank God during that time there were TV shows on with Black families and they really promoted going to college and they made it look like so much fun. And I was like, well, that's what I need to do. I need to go to college and look at their big house. And they always have a fridge full of food. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to college. So I ended up going to college, and the only careers that I even knew about, Tamika, were lawyers and doctors. That's right. All I knew because that was what was on the TV show. So I become a pre-med major thinking I should major in
being, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was like, well, that's – I was like, you got to. I'm obviously not going to be a lawyer. I don't want to do that. I'm an artist, so maybe I can sculpt bodies. And I'll be a plastic surgeon. So I
that
go
was
to
the
school.
Connection.
That's how I did it. That was my little baby brain putting two and two together. So I go to school and become a pre-med major, except I was one of those kids, you know, my generation, the 40-something-year-olds, we were having a hard time. You know, a lot of our parents were still recovering from either massive underemployment, drugs, crime. Like, we were very attacked by the Ronald Reagan war on drugs. So right. A lot of us were raising ourselves. So, you know, it was always a struggle for all of us, all of me and my friends, to just get to school, let alone buy books. So going to a school with more schooling afterwards, it didn't make a lick of sense. So right. I ended up doing a personality test. And it said that I should be a finance major and become a stockbroker. And wow. I think I was the only person that did that finance test because I was the only Black person in there. And so,
wow. Okay.
And so that's how my eyes were awakened to finance, because of that opportunity to make as much money as I said that I wanted unlimited income. So that ability to make as much money as the doctors and the lawyers and all of them, but not have to go to more schooling, and also not being, you know, chained to a desk. I didn't want that either. Now, that's my finance, how I got there. Now, where I came with the Black Wealth series was my grandma was from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. You know, after slavery was over, a lot of the Blacks were trying to figure out where to go. And during, right after slavery, when Reconstruction was happening, we were doing well. You know, a lot of the Black elites started doing really well, and it was making people jealous. And there was this weird relationship in the South where white people wanted you to spend your money there, but they also wanted to lynch you, and hurt you. And it's like, and so the Black folks started leaving. So my grandma couldn't read or write. And I was so confused. I was like, wait a minute, my grandma can't read or write. I mean, she wasn't a slave. Why can't she read or write? All my friends in Chicago, their grandparents know how to read or write. Right. I didn't understand that in the South, they were still, the Black folks in certain areas were still slaves. Their kids were still working in the fields, you know. So when she came here, it was almost like she had ran away from slavery all over again. But I just woke up to that literally maybe about 3 years ago. So my grandma was alive and passed away, and I still didn't understand why she couldn't read or write. And I only started looking at our past as a Black community because I was studying money. I wanted to know the genesis of money, from how it started during the Roman times to what was happening with the robber barons. I just wanted to know, like, the evolution of money. But when you're studying the evolution of money in America, you can't study money in America without studying slavery.
Right? Exactly.
Because it made the money. So when I started learning all of that stuff, I thought it was interesting, but there was nothing that was lighting a fire under my butt until George Floyd was murdered. And when George Floyd was murdered, you know, I think I did what everybody else did. We started like looking like, what was that? What do I need to do? What can I do? What's my special set of skills that I have to help in this fight? And I realized my special set of skills was education about money. So when I created the Black Wealth series, Black Wealth and Educational series, my team and I thought it up, and we started looking at speakers and all that good stuff. And what we realized was that systemic racism isn't one thing. It's everything, right? And it permeates through so many different parts of our everyday lives. Sometimes we know and sometimes we see, and a lot of times we don't. So the Black Wealth series is really designed to make us aware that if you're somewhere and someone's telling you the direct route from A to B, that direct route, that linear route, that point straight line is usually for a white man. A white woman is going to have a little curve. A Black man is going to have a little curve. A Black woman might have to go below the ground, back and through the back door, and then, you know, sneak up on it.
Right.
You know, so it's the routes to creating wealth in America, the capitalist system that we use is amazing, but we can't do it the same as everyone else because of systemic racism. So in this finance world, when people are talking about so many things when it comes to money, I'm like, yeah, but you forgot about that for us. And so that's what.
It's not the same. It's not the same blueprint or the same playing field. There's so many different ways it's interwoven through everything. Housing, work.
And it's doable.
Everything, literally, healthcare.
It's literally doable, but we have to know. And I think, honestly, Tamika, and I don't know if you feel this way, you can definitely let me know if you do, but I felt like just looking back on it, after when Barack Obama was elected president, we all just kind of started chilling and relaxing and going on vacation. And, you know, we started doing
everything. We were in the moment. We were living it up.
We were living our best lives. And we just weren't thinking about it. We weren't thinking about it. We weren't thinking about it. Now we, you know, we all woke up.
Right. I think when Obama was elected president, I think we all kind of felt like, okay, he's going to take care of it, you know? So we got a little bit like, okay, we can take, I think we all kind of felt like, let's take a breather and that kind of thing. And it was just like, oh, we can breathe now. He's going to do something about it. However, there are still a lot of things that still
a
wrong.
A lot of it. And we didn't even know. I think we just really learned about politics the last 4 years. I don't think during Barack, we weren't even present to it. Now we're like, okay, we got to mobilize, all hands on deck, go to your cousin in the hood, go to your uncle. Has he ever voted? It don't matter. Get him.
Exactly. I think people now, they feel more of the urge or that push to really be involved at kind of at every level.
We have to
whether they've had that exposure before or not.
We have to be. We've learned our votes matter. Like nobody's business, they matter. And that's how finance is similar to voting. Like there are some areas in America where they're just not as manipulatable. The best you can do is stop us from participating. That's it. But once we're participating, it's every man for himself, right? Voting is one of those areas. And so is finance. You know, if you own a share of Apple and Mark Zuckerberg owns a share of Apple, that share of Apple didn't cost you more interest because you're Black, like it would have if you got a mortgage at Wells Fargo. You know what I mean? And not to say that Wells Fargo is doing that currently, but they did in the past.
Okay. So yeah, definitely we can see that your background, like just things that you've witnessed personally and then like through your professional experience contributed to you starting the Black Wealth series. And I'm curious, is it something that now, since it is a series, it means that it's something ongoing?
Yes.
And is it something that you teach alone, or you mentioned that you have a team of people? So how do you select who's on your team, and what are some of the criterias, or, you know, what are you looking for in someone to help relay this
So
message?
There's two parts to the Black Wealth series. There's the there's the expert in the other area, and then there's the expert in the wealth part, which is me. So the expert in the, so our first series, we're working on series two now, but we're still on series one. Our first series was about voting and politics. So, I mean, voting and health. So our first speaker was actually State's Attorney Aisha Braveboy of Prince George's County, which happens to be the wealthiest predominantly Black county in America. And so,
I never knew that.
And so she was talking about how voting is important and how if we really want to minimize voter suppression, we vote by mail. I was like, wow. And she was like, if it wasn't important, why do you think they're fighting so hard? I was like, touche. So we're she really got us present to that. And because I think prior to that, I was like, number one, I got to stand in line for 3 hours. Number two, does my vote really count? And learn from her. Absolutely. And then our second speaker was about politics. And then we had another speaker that talked about the environment. I had no idea the environment played such a big part on Black lives and Black wealth and Black health and all of that. I had no idea. But what happens is they put poor people in the polluted areas. And then as a result, you're already, you know, compromised. So when COVID happens, you pass away faster. And then and then we have and then we had a medical doctor after that. And then the last speaker, which is going to be at the top of February, is a psychologist. And she's going to be talking about, her name's Dr. Akilah. She's amazing. She was actually on Taraji's show on Facebook. But and she was going to be talking about the trauma of racism and how it's the only trauma we're asked to get over while we're still experiencing it.
Yeah, you can never, ever really get over it. And I think the thing about this, too, with racism for us is that it's not as if it happened only here. And like it was, you know, it's kind of like, oh, get over it, or, you know, work your way through this trauma kind of thing. It's something that happened globally, you know, worldwide. So it's much more, it's not, definitely not anything you can brush under the rug. And I personally just feel like a lot of people, a lot of white people don't see that aspect of it. And it's just for us being who we are, you know, and that's the hard part about it. And like you said, we're being asked to get over something, but we're not being, we're creating solutions for ourselves and our communities, but the solutions are not being met fairly. But also at the same time, like you said, it is still happening. So how can you ask someone to get over something that's
literally still happening? Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. It's going to work against each other.
And I'm so excited that mental health is becoming more and more popular in the Black community, because it's something that we should have been, you know, we should have been looking at it. But I'm seeing more and more Black psychologists, therapists, life coaches. I think they all have a lane. Right. And and then even Taraji with her show around mental health. How awesome is that? So, yeah, because it's all related. I think right now it's like everything we do is related to each other. Our mental health is related to our income, which is related to our family, which is related to our health, physical health. It all is related. Oh, and you were asking.
And I think the importance.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think the importance, too, of just having like a mental health therapist or somebody who you can talk to who looks like you also makes a difference. For a long time in the Black community, that whole, you know, seeing somebody has always been on the hush. You know, you don't really talk about it, or you don't, oh, you don't need to do that.
Like, go to church.
Like, you know, man up, or man up, woman up, pray about it, like all these different things. But, now that we're seeing more of our own kind, you know, in this profession, I think it does make a huge difference, because when you talk about some of these things that you've experienced in your childhood, they can relate and they can tell you like, okay, this is maybe a way you can cope with this or deal with this or work towards getting over it. And it just makes sense coming from someone that
honestly
looks like you.
I think it's good to do it for someone who doesn't look like you too, as well, because it's their job to hear it. And now they have to hear it. They don't get to tell you what it is or what it ain't. They just get to hear it. And then they get to see why it exists. And then they'll, you start putting it on their radar enough, they'll start seeing it themselves too. So
that's true too. Pointing it out to them.
Cause I think there's such a annoying part of, and I don't know if you've seen it. It's so annoying when people try to minimize, like, I mean, nothing makes me more irate than someone telling me what doesn't exist. I'm like, really?
Right.
Huh.
Yeah. Like, it does exist, actually.
Yeah. And how would you know if it existed or not? I don't know what your traumas
it's that naive. It's that naive piece.
Yeah.
It's that denial piece. It's that ignorance piece. And that's really, all of that really is like a choice.
And it's honestly probably covertly, if not overtly, just racism. Like, your stuff is so unimportant. I'm going to tell you it don't exist. Would you tell a white man that something he said didn't exist?
Right.
Right. Like the nerve of you.
No, exactly. Very true. Very true.
So you were saying that in terms of our team and so on the other side, so we get these professional speakers. The next series is going to be about policing, which I am so excited about, because I think that's such a conversation that we need to understand. And then in terms of my team and what I'm looking for, I'm aggressively trying to get more people in the financial sector. And when I want people that are just aware of social justice, because I think there's a give there and there's a humanity there, whether you're aware of Black issues, women issues, just all of it. Like, the more we can understand what's going on in the world and have empathy and compassion, right, the better we'll be able to be of service and be a servant leader. So I'm aggressively recruiting and training people to be in my team so that, and in my agency so that they can go out and transform their own communities. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much money we have. If our mindsets aren't growing to catch it, to create wealth, it's, you know, we're all just going to be like these celebrities with $100 million that die broke.
Right. And you can't, it's not anything you wouldn't know how to pass it down to your children or anybody else in your family. And if you were to die, then what would happen with it? Okay. All right. I know that's such a morbid conversation to have, but it is something that is guaranteed to everybody on the planet, that everybody's got their last day.
Yep.
So it is definitely something that, you know, everybody should think about or try to figure out at some point in their life while they're still here.
I feel like in Los Angeles, we think we can we can cheat it. I do. I'm like, we're so funny out of here in Los Angeles. We're like the land of sunshine every day almost, and wealth and healthy thinking and living. But at the end of the day, COVID is giving us all a big, quick reality check, which is important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. So curious to know, what are some of the challenges that you may have faced in the professional world, or, you know, in your professional experiences when you went for pre-med, or then also when you decided you wanted to get this business off the ground to start doing this Black Wealth series? Did you face any challenges because you were a Black woman, or what were some of them?
Yes. And you know what's so interesting? I rather focus on the Black Wealth series challenges, because I think those are more easier to get.
Yep.
And so one of the things that's occurring that I'm seeing, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I do feel like we have a Black elite. We have a Black elite, and then we have our like our regular folks. The good thing is that we're all related. So if you're a Black elite, you got some regular folks in your family, guaranteed, if they're not like literally you grew up with them, you know.
Right.
So in terms in terms of the challenges, sometimes what I'm seeing is that our Black elite can click up and have all this great information and not have enough access to regular people to share it where it makes a difference. Or they'll click up and prefer not to be around regular people. Like, it's too much. So I think one of the best things about the series is I'm grabbing people who really want to keep a foot on the ground in the regular community with their, you know, where they grew up, or around the people that will benefit, because that's not necessarily true for everyone. It's a labor of love, and there have been people that have the perfect background, and I'm like, you should be talking to everyone, and they're like, well, we don't talk to everyone, we just talk to each other. And I'm like, but you're a room full of lawyers, you all have the same, no, you don't need to hear what you're saying, everybody else do, why don't you share? And they're like, well, it is a membership organization, or like, sometimes there's such a lack of awareness as to how important just education is, you know, not advice, not giving anyone confusion of advice, but just education. How does it work? What do we need to do? How can you protect your kids if they're picked up by the police? Like, what do we need to do? What do you need to do if you're a Black woman pregnant?
Right.
How can you protect yourself so that you don't end up being a casualty at the hospital? What does that look like for you? But, you know, people don't want to have that. They don't want to. Sometimes they don't want to share, Tamika. That's the issue. So that's a challenge with speakers, getting speakers who are like, well, I'm worth $10,000. I want you to pay $10,000 and be speak. I'm like, but nobody's paying. This is a free series.
Right.
Everything's free. The guests come for free. We're all speaking for free. People better than you have spoken for free. So bad.
Right, right, right. I always feel like that too. Like there's always, you know, in terms of regular people, they're always looking for the information. They just may not know where to look. And I think if you have somebody who's quote unquote made it and they've gotten to this level of success, for them to reach back, just being again, like a leader servant, I think that, you know, it speaks volumes, but it also just shows that you care. So it's not like you've made it to a level and you kind of just separate yourself. You've made it, you have a certain mindset, you've done certain things and you've achieved certain things, but now you care enough to still go back and be there for anyone else, excuse mm-hmm. me, who's interested or who wants to learn, who's eager to learn. Because this information isn't available to us in our community like that. It's not that easy to get. Like we can't just go sometimes to grandpa and be like, hey, grandpa, mm-hmm. how'd you do this? Yeah. Or, you know, like just pass down the family legacy through stories and mm-hmm. family wealth through stories, like other cultures do or are doing, or like what mm-hmm. white people have done. For us, we have to kind of find the person like, okay, who actually mm-hmm. made it out? Like, what did you do? Like, and they may not by blood be related, but you know, we're still all related. Absolutely. So yeah, I get what you're saying there. Though.
That's the biggest frustration is finding people with the information that don't want to share. And we are all smart mm-hmm. enough to understand how to share information without getting ourselves in trouble.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say to the healthcare point too that you mentioned, it's very true. It's interesting. I've even experienced like a discrimination, you know, through healthcare, like in terms of when I've had my mm-hmm. own doctor's appointments, just the treatment that I get versus somebody else who walks in, whether it's a white mm-hmm. woman or even another minority who walks in and it's, you know, it's their time for their appointment as well.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Or mm-hmm. just even the care. Yeah. Or just even the care and the options that wow. I'm giving in terms of, you know, if something, you know, if I'm not feeling well or just something like that, like, well, I'll just be out there like with GYN visits, you know, some information is not given to me because mm-hmm. of what I look like. But if I go to, well, I have gone to a different doctor because that has happened where a past GYN person I had, they weren't giving me the information that I was looking for, the information mm-hmm. that I was wanting to know. And they kept like being very passive and just wow. not really answering me and answering my questions. But when I went to someone else, you know, they were open with giving me information and just answering my questions and just like kind of satisfying like my mm-hmm. curiosity about some things. So there definitely is that, there definitely is that going on in the healthcare industry. And it makes you wonder too, just, you know, what Black women, you know, we have so many pregnancies and just, you know, what's happening with mm-hmm. that prenatal care, you know, that's a big thing that I always wonder yeah. about as well. So yeah, that's true in that healthcare sector as well. So now the Blackwell series, is this something that is in person?
It's or completely, like completely virtual. So the speakers are all over the US.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the people who listen are all over the U.S. So, and it's on our website. Our website is bwmeducationalseries.com. Mm-hmm. So it's like Black Wealth Matters Educational mm-hmm. Series, except it's just bwmeducationalseries.com. Nice. Yep. And the series are free. Okay. Akilah's going to be the last one. And we're going to start our policing series. And I'm just getting the speakers together for that. Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. And now do you see that the Black Wealth series, has it reached, do you feel like it's reached its goal versus like when it initially started to so where it's at now, or have you like stayed on track?
Thank you for asking. We started out in October mm-hmm. of last year. So we started mm-hmm. really the month before elections. and because social media was so interesting. So because of our title, or I don't even know what, I had to make sure I had to get us designated as a social justice site and all this stuff. So they wouldn't let me even mm-hmm. promote us half of the events. None of it. I couldn't promote it. They were saying that anything that had to do with elections or politics and all that. And I was like, this isn't elections or politics. It's actually Black history.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm like, why am I missing the connection between Black and politics? And what I discovered is that systemic racism is politics, because it was the government that created slaves, right? It was the government that created all the things. It was the government that gave folks the right to vote, but then actually allowed them to exercise their right to vote. So it sounds terrible because we're in this country, but it's the government. And that's also one of the reasons why it has survived all these years, because it's not a person. It's not a group. It's the government, right?
Right.
And then there are people. So right. if you think right. of systemic racism, I'm just going to go off on this tangent super quick. But if you think of systemic racism, think of it as a person. And the person is the political system.
Right.
But also think of it as having two weapons. One of the weapons, one of the swords is like capitalism. The other sword is poverty. And in terms of the Black community and people of color, but more so us aggressively, those weapons can be used equally against us. Capitalism can be detrimental towards the Black community as much as poverty can. Right. And then the people, because we all think about the people, like the people that stormed the, you know, the Capitol Hall. I forgot the name of the building, but the people that had the coup. Yeah.
Right.
So think of them as like the minions of the monster. You know how every monster has like the devil dogs or the this or the that. They are those. Right. So they don't really have any power. They're being told what to do from the systemic racism. You know, so it's it's very it's very interesting. And unfortunately, in my example, think of Black folks as sitting in the house unprotected with no weapons. And that's the fight that we're kind of in. And unfortunately, many of us don't understand the bigness of the fight or why it has lasted so long, because I know that confused me too. Like, slavery ended X, Y years ago. Why is there still this? It's because it's all connected. So, the series will keep going on. There's always another area that we need to talk about and how it affects us and how it ultimately affects our wealth. I wanted to keep going on. I want more speakers. I want there to be more financial professionals inviting their clients and teams. And it's not just for Black people. You know, I know history of the Native Americans in America. I know the histories of the pagans and the pilgrims and all of them when they first. It's American history. We all need to know it.
Right. Okay. So it seems like, you know, with the Black Wealth series, it focuses on kind of everything, like from healthcare, investments, real estate, and housing, owning your own business. And you do see that every day, like they're all literally, like they're all connected. Absolutely. They all go hand in hand. So now, are there services provided, since this is like an ongoing, like, educational series, like a workshop? So is this also a mentorship program in a sense? So let's say someone has done the series and they need assistance with buying a first home or getting started in investments or just things like that.
So is there we're financial professionals. That? So that's what we do as a profession. So we absolutely help. We help people with that. And I love the term hand holding, and I also like to call it guidance.
I couldn't think of the word. Yeah. So I was like, handholding.
There's guidance, and guidance is so important. So we definitely want to make sure that people have guidance, because, a lot of people have never done it, or they've only invested in their 401k at their job and they still didn't understand how that worked. So there's a lot of confusion as to the moving pieces when it comes to, money and wealth and goals and all that good stuff. So yes, we absolutely have structure and guidance.
Okay, that's good, because I feel like sometimes you know, you might like just personally, mm-hmm. not specific to Black Wealth or anything, but I've done like, you know, educational series or workshops. And then after mm-hmm. that, it's like, all right, we're done. Bye. And then you're kind of like sitting there like, okay, so I actually want to do something now, right. but I need a little bit of guidance. So some, I know that some of them run a little differently where some of them are like educational workshops and webinars and then give you the information you need. And some of them do both where they're giving you that information, but they're also like guiding you if you want to pursue whatever it is that you're interested in and being more like a mentor and just being, you know, kind mm-hmm. of more active.
So in terms of that, with the series and the mm-hmm. portion of it that focuses on finance, we have to be general. So we give very like overview, mm-hmm. macro, the forest versus the trees. We get very general, right. but still important strategies and concepts and conversations about who we are and what we do and what we're, and then what we do is we offer people an opportunity to just sit with us and allow us to share with them on a more intimate level. And then we can answer questions and there's right. no obligation one way or the other, but we do ask that they make referrals because right now we can't network anymore. So we're really trying to utilize this as a way to meet new people in new markets. So even if someone doesn't become mm-hmm. a client, they might want to share the next series class on their social media, which for us is perfect too. So right. it all works for right. us, but on the other side of the equation, we want the speakers to be able to find their fans and their supporters and their tribe as well. So even if someone is coming on and they right. are, they already have an advisor and they just want to know how to become a better environmentalist. Well, Johanna is going to tell them what ways to do right. it. And they might end up following Johanna and donating to her clean water project, et cetera. So we do both.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm kind of envisioning this as like mm-hmm. a network umbrella kind of thing where, because you have speakers and affiliations in different places here in the States, it's not restricted to one location or kind of like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say one identity, but it gives it space to kind of evolve to other things and it links it back to you guys, depending on who reaches who, wherever Absolutely. They're located. Okay. And so what do you think, or what do you envision the future to be like for the Black Wealth series and
the mentorship program? I envision the series to have over 2,000 people registered in the next three series. I envision us to have ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And these ambassadors will be just, nice. You know, no different than, you know, you or me as protesters for BLM, right? It's going to be the same type of, this is my cause. This is what I'm doing. I will promote you to my community because I believe in this is important. So we're rolling out an ambassador program to find like-minded people to help us promote the series more. But we ultimately wanted to have thousands mm-hmm. of people. I want to have a show on a monthly basis where we talk about what occurred in the series and bring it back down to a business standpoint. Like, how does it affect you, or how does it affect your family? So it'd be more like a talk show, mm-hmm. if you will, but based on the information, because we only have one speaker. So it's not a panel, and I don't want a panel. I feel like mm-hmm. that's too much. Yeah, it's too much. And you don't get to hear anybody's like full view expressed. And sometimes you need to just hear their view. So mm-hmm. I want more of that kind of like, not panel, but okay, now what? We got this information. People are entrepreneurs and employees. Now what? What does this mean? How do we do it? So that's that. And we just want thousands mm-hmm. and thousands and more people and people to transform their lives and not be afraid and feel like they have communities.
Yeah. Right. and there's something that they can, this is something that they can reference and go to, and just get their questions answered, if anything, whatever they're thinking, whatever they don't know, whatever information they may have heard or confused about, or just kind of knowing the details and behind the scenes, and steps to take. Okay. And so do you want to just go ahead and provide social media?
So our series, we're on Instagram at BWM series. So BWM, like Black Wealth Matters series. Mm-hmm. And from there, you'll be able to see all of our associates and follow us as well. And I'm at Saria Says. But if you go to the BWM series, you'll be able to see us as well. On our website, we have our business pages. You can always schedule a 15-minute Zoom call, and we can chat and get whatever questions you need answered, or at least I can point you in the right direction. We try to be a wealth of information, and our ultimate goal is to create more people with multiple sources of cash flow. And that might be through business ownership, real estate, obviously investments, but it's that. That's our ultimate goal. And we find that the more conversations we can have, the more people begin to trust and understand and get out of their own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I don't have anything else. I thought this was great. Just explaining more what it is and what people can expect when they check it out.
You're welcome.
So thank you, Saria, for being on the episode. That was all right, everyone. So Saria wanted to speak about what happened a few days ago, or I think a day or two ago, with the whole GameStop thing with the investment piece of the stocks.
Yes. All right. So I wanted to talk about that because I feel like people might, I feel like we always need to understand how it affects you. So the gist of it is that a guy who was a writer wrote that he thinks it's a good time to bet against GameStop or the company that owns it going up. So basically to plan on that company failing and going down. So then the gaming community came to his rescue and hyped it up. And then on the other side, some companies that followed this guy's advice ended up positioning themselves and losing money. But very few people probably even have that stock. But what I want to share about that is, as financial professionals, we're not allowed to give blanket advice like that because it does stuff like that, right? It makes people act on it, and then things can go topsy-turvy. And on the other side of it, it might be investment accounts. Like, it could be anything where that particular investment is in. So part of our responsibility as professionals is to not give advice like that. We have to sit down, we have to know people, and then it has to be a one-on-one conversation. Okay. So why this is important is because this guy, who was not a financial professional, ended up influencing the markets, right? So our governing agency, which is the Securities Exchange Commission, what they're going to do 9 times out of 10 is they're going to make it where even regular people can't talk about the market. Because when you talk about it, it can create a mishap. So right now, financial professionals don't talk about it. We're not allowed to. Regular people at a certain point won't be allowed to, which means that the people that are going to be giving advice on stocks and all of that will be so far removed from actual education in the financial sector that it's basically going to be where you have to find financial professionals or become a financial professional so that you can get access to for real information, because you can't get what we know on the internet. Right. And moving forward, you'll probably be able to get even less of it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering and that happened on Friday, I feel like, yesterday.
It happened like three days. It happened this week.
Yeah. Okay. I remember seeing something about it. I was scrolling and everybody was like kind of talking about it, but I never had a chance to like sit down and read an article to see like what was really going on. So yeah, thank you for breaking that down. Cause typically I'll see stuff like you see stuff all the time on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, things are being shared and reposted and all that kind of stuff. But I always just, you know, I'll look at that, but I'll just go do my research for myself. And sometimes it's mostly with Apple News, since, you know, I have an iPhone. It's mostly with like the Apple News and things like that. I'll read those articles on there, or the news app on the iPhone and those kind of things. Or sometimes I'll Google and whatever may come up, like in New York Times and stuff like that. So I try to use credible resources. Sometimes I do look at international publications as well, BBC and Amnesty International, just to get an outside perspective. Like, what does it look like for the people looking in?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, okay, so that was what that was all about.
That's what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's really going to just quiet people. And I remember 50 Cent, I don't know if you remember this, but he was on Twitter and he told people to buy Vita Water. I think that was the name of his water, but it was a water company that he owned. And he was like, you guys
need, remember that.
You guys need to buy some stock, you know, buy some stock in it, buy the water, buy this. And he didn't tell people that he was an owner. And I remember, I think the SEC fined him $50,000. They fined him a good amount, a very good amount. And, so it's, we really have to watch what we say. But that just means that you have to be that much careful about who you're getting non-solicited advice from. Because they're probably, if they have any fear, they won't be putting out information online like that, because you can get in trouble. Now that guy's going to be famous. That guy who wrote that article, I mean, he's getting scrubbed all type of ways by the SEC. They're looking at him and researching everything to see what happened. It's gonna change things moving forward, and that's fine. But we need to understand that.
Right. Okay. All right. Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Tamika. I appreciate you having the time to let me speak.
Oh, no problem. This was awesome. So everyone, thank you again for tuning in. Thank you, Saria, for being here and being in this space with me and just providing us with some really good information. And I hope everybody got something from this. And, you know, when you're on Instagram, check out the page, Black Wall Series, and check out the website. Reach out if you have questions, and just, you know, get your questions answered from someone who is a financial advisor. That's important.
Period.
Yeah. So thank you again for everyone tuning in, and everyone be well. Thank you again, Saria. Bye,
guys. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.